I want to extend greetings in the name of Jesus again this morning. I want to share a message from John chapter 11. Title of the message is Lessons from the Story of Lazarus. And one of the main things that comes out of this is, one of the main themes is freedom. And there's other lessons that we can learn as well, but I want to draw our thoughts from that passage, the story of Lazarus in John chapter 11. In John chapter 8, verse 36, Jesus said, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." And that's sort of an overriding thought or something that comes out of this story. Of course, the Jews didn't understand what Jesus was talking about because they didn't understand their own needs, but we want to look at that and learn something from this story. We know that freedom is a very important part of our spiritual life, being free from the bondage and guilt of sin. And God created man in that perfect state in the Garden of Eden, and they lived in that perfect freedom, and we know sin changed all that. And there's a lot of emphasis nowadays on freedom. We have freedom of speech and many other areas that people want to express themselves in. And yet, as you think about the way God made man in that perfect freedom, yet there was some boundaries that God had put into their life. And they had a choice to make in that. And of course, that is where we find ourselves today. We have freedom in the life that Jesus saved us too, but yet there are things that there are boundaries, and I guess that makes a difference whether we are looking out or looking in, is how we respond to that. I know that I'm glad this morning, that thankful that we can have right choices, and that we know that God made man with the freedom of choice, and he chose wrong. We all chose wrong. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that is something that we have to deal with. But God also, in his mercy, has extended a way that we can make right choices. And I'm thankful for that this morning. And we want to learn. I'm going to just bring that out in this story. I'll read the story at this time, beginning at verse 19. John chapter 11, verse 19. And the first couple verses of the chapter, it talks about Lazarus becoming sick. Verse 19, it says, "And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. I'll stop reading there. Going back to the first part of the chapter where Lazarus became sick, we know that they went to the right, we see here that they went to the right source. They called for Jesus, and Jesus was quite a ways off, and he delayed his coming. And as we look at this story, we can understand, looking back on it, that it was for, Jesus knew the purpose then, and we can look back and see that purpose fulfilling in their lives, that his name would be glorified. But we want to think about this, how sin is a sickness, and it's a spiritual sickness. It's not a physical sickness. It does cause physical problems. Life of sin does bring physical issues into our life, but sin is a sickness that only the blood of Jesus can take care of. And they went to the right source here. They went to Jesus, and that's where we want to hold forth at this morning. Sin brings death. As just as sickness in our life, if it's not taken care of, brings physical death, so sin in our life brings spiritual death. We see that happen to Adam and Eve in the garden. James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15 says, But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So the sin is something that brings forth death in our life. We want to think about the few steps here that Jesus laid out for Lazarus, how he brought him back to life again. We know that Lazarus was sick, and they understood that, and they called for Jesus, and that's the way it is, that should be for us when we understand we have a problem, and that's part of the first step maybe in coming to freedom. We know that outside of Jesus Christ we are lost. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Also chapter 6, verse 22 and 23. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Again, we understand that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we have to go, we have to understand that before we can reach out and help. Back in the verse that I quoted in John chapter 8, where the Jews didn't understand the bondage that they were in. Jesus told them, If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And they had told him earlier, they answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, You shall be made free? Well, the gospel is for those that know that they have a problem. Those that understand they have a personal need of salvation, we have to understand that first of all. That's the first step in coming to salvation or coming to freedom, is understanding our need. Number two, it takes faith to find freedom. We know that God has placed us here and has revealed himself to us, and we must have faith to reach to him. Hebrews 11, verse 6. talks about the necessity of faith there. Says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It takes faith to reach out to the freedom that Jesus offers us. And we can see the faith that is displayed in this story, in the story of Lazarus. Seems like Mary and Martha both understood that there was power that Jesus had, and they didn't understand the extent. Doesn't appear that they understood the extent of that power, but they expressed some faith. They said, if you'd have been here, he would not have died, and they understood his power. And yet it was like ours so often, it was a little weak. And of course, we can look back at these and see how the things turned out. They couldn't see that. So I'm sure we'd express the same poor faith if we'd have been there. But they did understand that Jesus had power, and they were asking him for help. The Jews there in verse 37, they said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? So there were some that understood it, some that had some faith, and they were reaching out and I think growing in their faith. And sometimes we need that gentle nudging that Jesus gives. In verse 40 and 41, Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Jesus brings circumstances into our life to increase our faith. And we need to have the same prayer that the man whose boy was sick in Mark chapter 9. He said, I believe. Well, Jesus asked him if he believed. And he said, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And so many times we come to that point in life, in the situations that we find ourselves in. And I believe God honors that prayer. I think he wants someone that has a desire to learn more of him. And he helps our faith. And he's so gentle and so kind in bringing that increase to our life. Number three, thinking about steps to freedom, Jesus is the answer for the problems that we face, the sin problem that we have. And again, they went to Jesus. We already talked about that. I'd like to just go to a story in Revelation that brings this out, and I'm not sure where this story exactly fits in the context of history, but it brings out the power of Jesus. Or maybe it's future, what's going on here in Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5 says, and I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and looked and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, and tongue, and people, and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. We see here how the answer was held in the power of Jesus Christ. He is the one that can take the book. It says the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, that was speaking of Jesus. And there was this book, and I believe it was the key to salvation. He took that, and we see the hopelessness of man outside of Jesus Christ. John was looking at this, and he said that there was no man that could be found, and he said, I wept much because no man was found worthy. And then his eyes were turned to Jesus, and he saw that Jesus was the answer. And it says that there in verse 6, there stood a lamb as it had been slain. And we know that the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse sin. It's the only answer. There was no one found in heaven or in earth to open this book, and Jesus' blood was shed so that it could be. Also in verse 9 there, it says, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. Again, bringing out the necessity of the shed blood of Jesus. We think about the sin question this morning. Jesus, we turn to Jesus in our desperation, in our need of salvation. We turn to him, and we can praise him for the freedom that he has given because of the work that he has done. There in Revelation also, they sung the song because Jesus had shed his blood. Okay, the next point has three sub-points under it. It takes obedience to find freedom. There are three things that Jesus gave here in this story, three things he said to do. In verse 39, Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. This stone was placed, we know Lazarus died, and they put him in the grave. And this stone was over the path to freedom. And it was placed there. There was a way they sealed off. I don't understand all the customs that they had, but that was the way they sealed off their graves. And Jesus told those that were standing there, he said, Take away the stone. And isn't there something for us to do as we work together and as we are all striving for freedom in our life? There's things for us to do. I think it shows that there is a part that man has to play in it. Jesus could have taken away the stone, I believe. He was well able to do that, but he told those standing there to take it away. You know, death in this illustration, it separated Lazarus from his sisters and from his friends, and sin does that. Sin brings separation. And Jesus told them to take this stone away. We should be instruments of removing the barriers that stand between us and our brother. We should help with that. I think Jesus is teaching that here, that we have, God can do it all. He could have done it all in salvation, but he chooses for us to help each other in this. And I just like that picture of the person that is in sin coming out and others helping him. Well, thinking about the stone that was needing to be removed and our willingness to help that, how willing are we to help others and to extend the forgiveness that we need to have for each other? You know, as we understand our own journey, I think it has so much to do with how willing we are to help others. And we need to focus on how I can help someone to the glory of God, not to get any glory for ourselves. Well, they opened the stone, and the next thing that Jesus told them, the next thing that Jesus said, this command, was to Lazarus himself. He said, Lazarus, come forth, in verse 43 there. Lazarus, come forth. And Jesus gives that invitation. It was a command and an invitation for him to come forth. It was personal here to Lazarus. He spoke Lazarus' name, and that was who responded. And Jesus has a universal call to all mankind, and yet he individually calls us too. And I thought that was such a nice thought that we have the personal call of Jesus Christ. We all have, when we come to the age of accountability, he calls us personally, and we have to answer that call. So it is personal, and yet Jesus extends his call to all mankind. In John 7, verse 37, it says, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, 'If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink.'" So it is open to everyone, and he personally calls us as well. Well, Lazarus, as he woke up in the grave there, I don't know. We don't know more than what the story tells us here. But I don't think grave clothes were something that he really cared to appear in, and yet the call was there and he obeyed Jesus' command. And we know that sin is not a life of sin is not something that we care to expose in our life. Sin is not something that it's something that we like to hide. And yet, as Jesus calls us, it needs to be exposed. It needs to come out and needs to be dealt with in redemption. And Lazarus here came forth, and even though he knew he didn't look the best and couldn't function as he really wanted to, and he humbly did that. And so it is with us. We need to come forth and open our lives to each other and to God and confess our sins, and he can take them away. Okay, the last command is again to those that were standing around there. They said, Jesus told them in verse 44, at the end of the verse there, he says, "Loose him and let him go." Thinking about that little phrase there, "loose him," I think that's one of the definitions of forgiveness. Think about letting go when someone does something against you. Lazarus, of course, had not harm these people, but that just spoke to me of forgiveness. As someone comes and confesses their sin and makes an apology to us, just loose him and let him go. It's such a good understanding of forgiveness. And it probably won't be done just at that moment. There'll probably be days later that you need to do it again. But it is a command for those of us standing around when we see another one of our friends coming to Jesus that we loose him and let him be free from the guilt and don't hold that over him. You know, when God forgives, it's taken care of, and that's the way it should be for us, and we don't want to bring it up again. There is a part that we have in helping each other to freedom. And forgiveness is one of them. But I think as we live and we fellowship, study the Word of God together, we help each other to freedom. And there is God's part that he redeems us. He sets us free from the bondage of sin. And there is the part that we have to do, our responsibility to each other, to help each other. We need to be like Lazarus and allow help to be given. I don't know. Jesus was standing there. Lazarus could have wondered why Jesus didn't unwrap him, but he left. He told the other people there to do it. And we need to have that willingness and helpfulness to each other. When we receive the compassion and forgiveness of others, we can understand our own fallen nature, our own tendency to do wrong. You know, when we see someone that is redeemed confess their sins, or someone that has fallen into sin, it should make us have a sense of our own unworthiness and a compassion for them, because if it wasn't for the grace of God, we all would be in sin. And we all need to confess the sin sometimes. So as we see the grave clothes that need to be taken off of another person, we shouldn't do it in a Pharisee attitude of how much better I am than this person and how good I can take care of this problem. Rather, it should be the thought of what Jesus told this, Pharisees, when they brought the woman to Jesus, he said, let the one that's without sin throw the first stone. And that's the kind of attitude that we need. Let's not hold on. There might be a tendency not to expose the tendencies of our sinful nature. Not hold on to the grave clothes of sin, if you want to call it that. 2 Peter chapter 2. This talks about the dog is turned again to his own vomit and the sow that was washed to her own wallowing in the mire. It's talking about someone that holds on to or falls back into sin. Let's not do that. Let's have redemption make its perfect work and be totally free from the sin that wraps us up if we're not careful. Sin is a bondage, and it'll make its wraps around you and bind you. Let's go to John chapter 12, the next chapter here, and just look at what happened to Lazarus' life. John chapter 12, verses 9 through 11. It says, much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was come there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests and consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. I was also going to read in chapter 11, in verse 45, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their way to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. And they couldn't deny that there was a miracle that had been done. And I think it's a good lesson, a good challenge for us today, that our life is a testimony of the resurrection power of Jesus, just as Lazarus' life was. And they wanted to kill Lazarus just like they wanted to kill Jesus, because he was a testimony of the saving grace of Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection. And it's interesting to see that believers and non-believers could see it very well. It was an evident life. And so our lives need to be, that our lives should be showing forth the power of God, and that we're not ashamed of what Jesus has done for us. We're not ashamed of helping each other. In closing, let's look at John chapter 5. We know that Lazarus went on to live, and he experienced death as a normal person again, I believe. And we want to, and he is waiting for the resurrection, and we want to look for the eternal freedom that the resurrection brings. John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29. It says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Lazarus was in the grave, and he heard the voice and was raised. And it says, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So we're looking for an eternal resurrection. We can be made free here on earth, be free from the bondage of sin, and have that resurrection of our life in a spiritual sense, but we look for the eternal resurrection. Also, 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 through 18. First Thessalonians 4, 16 through 18 says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a great shout, from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. So we look for eternal freedom, or eternal redemption. And it's only those that will experience the the freedom that is illustrated in the story of Lazarus, those that are experienced that here on earth, that they will be the ones that will join the Lord in the air and be with the Lord and find the comfort that He gives. Salvation is open, and the door of opportunity is here this morning. And we want to extend that invitation to everyone, anyone that has a need of salvation. Young people, this morning, if you are here and you sense the call of God, make it known. And we know that there is no promise. There's been already, in the short amount of time of this year, there's been two wrecks not very far away here. And life is so short. And young people, all of us, let's make sure that we are ready and let your needs be known. Let's kneel for prayer.